call the answer line, where you're the head honcho, the big cheese, top dog, big man, mighty boss, and you can tell us exactly where to go.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks for PCJ Online. Just about to push the button on another program from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
By shortwave and satellite, this is Radio Netherlands. Media Network, a weekly survey of international communication developments. Produced and presented by Jonathan Marks.
Hello and thank you, not only for joining us, but for a bumper response to recent editions of the programme. If you've written with a specific query to me, then I beg your patience. I'll be ploughing through some 400 letters after this programme's over. And also bear in mind that mail is already getting delayed as we head towards Christmas. A postcard just in this morning from Hawaii, for instance, took 3 weeks to reach us by airmail. To the media news desk first, and let's spin the dial.
8:45 in the good morning. You're listening to Music and More with Dan Alexander on VOA Europe.
At the end of September, we reported that government budget cuts in Washington, D.C. were such that VOA Europe was to be cancelled at the end of 1986. This satellite service feeds a number of local radio stations and cable systems across the continent, with specially tailored English language programs from Washington. On Tuesday, VOA director Richard Carlson told staff that VOA Europe would continue. So we found VOA Europe's director in Munich, West Germany, Frank Scott, and asked him whether the decision to cancel the service has now been reversed.
Well, yes, it's been largely reversed. What has happened is that we have cut the budget for it considerably, but that programming, essentially in the same form that it's in now, will continue.
And just what sort of budget cut are you facing? Because you had a budget, I believe, before about $3.4 million.
Well, I can't tell you exactly what the savings is going to be, but it'll be considerable. What's happening at VOA is that we are putting together several elements, some regular English programming, especially the newscasts, to replace special newscasts that we were doing before. So what we're trying to do is use some of the same people and some of the same programming to achieve means for both VOA Europe and for other English programs.
But the basic concept remains the same. In other words, listeners shouldn't notice the difference.
They'll probably notice it a little, but I don't think so. I don't think that it'll be any problem for them. There will be no really substantive changes.
But presumably the short-term plans towards VOA Europe in other languages, including French and German, will have to be shelved.
Yes. In essence, those plans really had not begun to develop at all. We were waiting for VOA Europe to get well established and to learn whatever lessons we might have learned from it, and then move on to the other languages. And at this point, I would say that the other languages are shelved, yes.
Well, before these financial problems arose, you were in discussion with the German Post Office to change VOA Europe from a mono signal via the satellite with restricted bandwidth to a full stereo signal. Is that still the plan?
Yes.
As from when?
Well, we had entered into an agreement with the German Deutsches Bundespost almost simultaneously with the decision to change it, and that particular agreement affected not only VOA Europe, but other services coming across the Atlantic and being distributed to our transmitter site here in Munich, which is basically the shortwave and the medium-wave transmitters that broadcast to Eastern Europe. And we continue to have the arrangement that we negotiated and the ability to go stereo, and we will go stereo as soon as it's all implemented by the Deutsches Bundespost, which is probably going to be, in February or March.
Presumably the network of VOA Europe stations is expanding.
We certainly hope so. We added, tentatively, we've reached an agreement to add 5 stations in Tuscany in the next few weeks.
That was Frank Scott of VOA Europe. Now, as Pete Myers joins me in the studio, let's go further down the dial and switch to this station.
Radio Martí. Programa de información de la voz de los Estados Unidos de América.
A reporter for Radio Martí, the name given to a special service run by the United States and beamed to Cuba, has been removed from her White House assignment after asking President Ronald Reagan two questions at his television news conference on Wednesday, November 19th. The reporter, 28-year-old Annette Lopez Munoz, asked the president questions concerning the U.S. policy towards Nicaragua, but claims she did discuss the questions with her editor. The director of the Voice of America, Richard Carlson, which supervises Radio Martí, said MS Lopez Munoz had violated a long-standing government policy prohibiting VOA and Radio Martí reporters from asking questions at televised presidential news conferences. Carlson said, "As government employees, we are careful to avoid situations that could lay us open to charges of favoritism or improper questioning." Annette Lopez Munoz says she remains proud of Radio Martí, but feels that it's important to the station's credibility that journalists have the freedom to act as journalists.
To Holland now, and for many years, TV viewers here have been bombarded with this sort of jingle from Tros Television, one of the national broadcasters.
De Tros van Remmeiland naar Satelliet. Geef die Tros de ruimte voor nog meer ontspanning.
Tros announced yesterday it's applied to the Dutch Minister of Broadcasting for a license to go commercial by the end of the decade. Just what form it'll take isn't clear at this stage, but the broadcasting company says it has a lot of backing from commercial industry to finance the scheme. Holland presently has eight major television broadcasting companies which share time on two national channels. Though advertising is seen on Dutch television, none of the programme companies are commercial, receiving money instead from the licence fee collected from radio and TV viewers. Well, back to radio, and we move to Asia.
Laos has quietly introduced an external service beam to Europe. First spotted by Bernd Friedewald in West Germany, it seems to have been around since the start of November. Between 11 and 11.30 hours UTC, Viet Thiang is heard with an excellent signal on 11870 and 15190 kHz in French.
Ici la radio diffusion nationale Lao, émettant de Vientiane, République démocratique populaire Lao. Nos émissions en langue française sont diffusées chaque jour.
Mention is made of the broadcast to Europe, though neither of the two frequencies appear to come from a transmitter in Laos itself. Instead, the studio signal is fed on a satellite telephone channel to transmitters in the USSR. You can hear the phone clicks if you listen carefully. This practice isn't new. Radio Afghanistan has been relayed to listeners in Europe by Russian transmitters for several years. The Laotian program is wedged between other Radio Moscow services, and no special interval signal is played before the French transmission commences. Laos also has its own broadcasts via transmitters within Laos, and these include English broadcasts. But no broadcasts in English to Europe from Laos via USSR relay transmitters have yet been traced.
Bernd also corrects an item from last week concerning the external service from Venezuela. Radio Nacional in Spanish from Caracas is on the odd channel of 11.852 kHz, heard in Europe around 20 hours UTC with a weak signal at present. It's not known if 11.852 from Caracas is being beamed to Europe. Further north, in Santo Domingo, the Dominican Republic, Jeff White, who's the director of the commercial shortwave project Radio Discovery, says they're now back on the air with test transmissions.
We're broadcasting 1800 to midnight UTC, Monday through Saturday, and 1300 to 1600 UTC on Sundays, and that's all on 15045 kilohertz.
You've also been noted on other frequencies too, for example 6245. Is that permanent?
Well, 6245, we've been doing some tests on that frequency in the local evening times, and we've had pretty good results. So we are, as we speak, considering the possibility of beginning December 2nd, starting broadcast from midnight to 0400 UTC nightly on 6245 kilohertz. That would be Tuesday through Saturday nights UTC, Monday through Friday here in the Americas. And what we would probably do in that case, if we do begin that next week, we will drop the daytime broadcast, that is the 1800 to midnight transmission, during the week, but we would broadcast 1800 to midnight on Saturday and Sunday. And that, of course, would be on the other frequency, 15045 kilohertz.
What power are you using?
Well, we're now broadcasting with a kilowatt.
White says they seem to be reaching the Caribbean quite well with Spanish and English programs and have installed listener answer lines to cope with the response.
The English number is here in the States, area code 813-360-4505. And then listeners who speak Spanish can call our direct studio line in Santo Domingo at area code 809-562-6617.
Meanwhile, Radio Clarín, also in Santo Domingo, have reactivated their shortwave transmitter for Spanish programs.
They are on more or less from 1200 to 400 UTC on their same old frequency of the 11,700 kilohertz. The difference is that they are broadcasting with full power now, which is 50 kilowatts. They had been broadcasting for quite some time with about half that power because of some transmitter problems.
The antenna for Radio Clarín, though, remains omnidirectional. That music is the theme from Europa Television, the Hilversum-based pan-European channel that should know its fate later today. A meeting amongst the five countries which contribute towards its existence, scheduled for last Friday, was in fact extended. Television facilities for Europa are provided by the Dutch broadcasting corporation NOS. They've said they want to see $3.5 million of the estimated $10 million owed to them by Europa immediately, or they'll fade the picture to black. Now, who's this?
You are listening to the English service of Radio Truth, the station that brings you the real news and the true facts surrounding current events.
Well, actually, listening to Radio Netherlands, that off-air extract belongs to a South African-based political clandestine station. It beams a daily diet of news and comment in the direction of Zimbabwe on shortwave. And you don't need to listen for long to discover that it doesn't like the present government in Harare, to put it mildly. About 18 months ago, they gave out an address for correspondence in England, which, upon investigation, turned out to be not owned by a Mr. J. Brown of Stockbridge, as they claimed. A few months ago, though, listeners were told to write to a Mr. Stanley Hatfield of Silver Spring, Maryland. That's near Washington, D.C., in the United States. We sent Rob Horowitz to investigate who's behind that. He's on the line now. So what did you find?
Jonathan, 815 Thayer Avenue is just a few miles from my house, so I drove up there last week, and it turned out to be a large apartment building called Silver Spring Towers. And when I asked the receptionist for Stanley Hatfield, she replied that he's not a tenant there, but that's just a name that someone who lives in another building uses to get mail from South Africa. She then gave me the address of the other building, and I went there. It turned out to be a large apartment complex also, and this receptionist then volunteered that the person I wanted to speak to lives in a certain apartment, and as luck would have it, the intercom connecting the front desk to the apartments was broken, so he couldn't call to see if I was able to go up to visit this tenant. So he said, why don't you just go up and knock on their door, which I did. And a woman answered, and I explained who I was and how I got there and what I was doing, and she let me in, asked me to sit down, and disappeared into another room. The chair she offered me was next to a writing table, and it was covered with papers addressed to and signed by Dabaningi Sitoli. Mrs. Sitoli came back in a few minutes, apparently having told her husband that I was there. And when I left the building, I confirmed at the reception desk that the apartment was indeed that of Reverend and Mrs. Sitoli.
Okay, who is Reverend Sitoli? That name seems to ring a bell.
Dabaningi Sitoli was the founder of ZANU, the Zimbabwe African National Union, which led the opposition to the white government of Rhodesia in the 1960s. He was sentenced to 6 years at hard labor in 1968 for publicly calling for the murder of Ian Smith. Released in 1974, he renounced armed struggle and in 1978 joined with Ian Smith to form a transitional government. when the guerrilla forces led by Robert Mugabe and Joshua Nkomo took over in 1981, Sotoli was discredited as a collaborator. He survived several assassination attempts and finally left Zimbabwe in 1985 when Robert Mugabe declared the state a one-party state. So he's had quite an interesting life, and it's not too hard to see why he might oppose the present government.
But what's his involvement with the station Radio Truth?
I spoke with him last night, and he said that his only involvement with Radio Truth is acting as a mail drop, and he passes the mail on to somebody else whose identity he wouldn't reveal. And by the way, Jonathan, I called the South African embassy here in Washington, and I asked them for Stanley Hatfield. They said there was no one there by that name. I also called the Zimbabwean embassy and asked if they were aware that Radio Truth was using a U.S. address for correspondence. They apparently were not aware of that and said they'd investigate.
So what lies behind the truth? We'll keep you posted. For the next part of the programme, I've come to the Johan Vermeerstraat behind the famous Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam. Holland is one of the few countries in the world where the National Broadcasting Centre is not in the nation's capital. The reasons for Hilversum being chosen instead of Amsterdam are connected with the early radio history back in the 20s. But not far from the number 16 tram line, there is a legal radio station in Amsterdam which calls itself Stad, meaning city.
FM 94,3 Stad Radio Amsterdam.
You need to be physically fit to work for this regional radio station. The offices and studios are in a large converted house and spread over four stories. You also have to accept that since this station hit the airwaves on January 5th, 1976, they've never broadcast more than 24 hours a week. That's roughly 3 hours a day. At other times, the small 1 kilowatt FM transmitter puts out the programmes of the National Radio 1 service from Hilversum. On the third floor, I met up with station manager Leo Jacobs and asked him whether this 3 hours a day of broadcasts, purely for Amsterdam, is split up.
Yeah, it's split up in 1 hour in the early morning from 7:15 to 8 o'clock, then from 12 o'clock until 1. And the last hour is from 6 o'clock until 7, and we are going to change that into 5 o'clock until 6 next year, the 1st of June. And every hour we have also a short bulletin, 2 minutes for the latest news, if there is.
Yeah, you say if there is, because is it difficult to make an hourly news bulletin just for Amsterdam, bearing in mind that news, if it happens in the Netherlands, usually takes place either in The Hague or in Amsterdam?
Well, people living outside of Amsterdam and The Hague are thinking very differently. They think that when there is a local bicycle accident, that's news too. But I think you're right. But this is a very small city. It's a world city, it's the capital of a real country, but nevertheless it's a very quiet city with between 600,000 and 700,000 inhabitants, and sometimes there is not too much happening here, and then the news is, for instance, that a member of the community council is giving a speech on a subject like heroin, for instance. Well, that's then the news. It's quite quiet here. It's not New York, where every day a couple of crimes is committed, several murders.
Via de FM 94.3 luistert u tot 8 uur naar Stad Radio Amsterdam.
Verse koffie. Een boterham met kaas, mima. Daar wordt een kloekemok thee ingeschonken. De radio op de FM. FM 94.3.
Dit is het ochtenduur van Stad.
Dit is het ochtenduur van Stad.
Gerdy Nijman.
Goedemorgen. Het weer op dit moment. Er staat een krachtige...
That's how they sound on this morning, complete with someone putting the coffee on. The city may be quiet when it comes to capital crimes, but it's full of burning issues. A reporter from the station spent this past Tuesday morning with a group of squatters, recording events as the local police force broke down the door to remove the illegal tenants. On a more peaceful note, the city's new music theatre is just one source of cultural news for Stad Radio.
When we have a nice music theatre, there's a lot of fuss about it. We had demonstrations even against it. I hardly understood why, but we broadcast that, of course. But we broadcast, too, what's happening there, so that people really know how to find a way to Giselle by the Bolshoi or our own national ballet. We give much attention to things like, for instance, actions by squatters and the reaction by government and the owners of the houses. We give much attention to the lack of jobs. But we give also much attention to activities everywhere where people can forget the pain of those social problems and find some, well, let's say some happiness. I think that's a kind of news. I know that all the journalists, and I myself once say, good news is no news. And I always thought like that when I was working for a newspaper. But since we are here, I changed my mind a little bit.
There used to be news bulletins in English, broadcast by Stad Radio during the summer months for tourists. These were compiled in cooperation with Radio Netherlands. Research showed, though, that few tourists brought a radio with them and realised that such a service existed, so it stopped. Besides which, the average medium-wave AM radio will pull in many British local and national radio stations from across the North Sea, even in the middle of the day. Many people in Amsterdam easily speak English, but certain minorities do need programmes in their own language from Stad Radio before they can integrate into the Dutch way of life.
There is a big group of Turkish people who have problems speaking Dutch. My experience is that most of them, if they want, can learn Dutch very quickly. It's less than 3% Turkish people. Most of them speak Dutch. Nevertheless, we make a programme in Turkish. Same we do in Moroccan. It's a kind of Arabian. It's a Berber dialect in which the program is broadcast. Both two programs are bilingual. Every sentence in Arabian or in Turkish is shortly translated into Dutch, and every Dutch line is shortly translated into the other language. The biggest minority is the Surinamse. Sranang minority. Well, they all speak better Dutch almost than Sranang. So that whole program is broadcast in Dutch, only the songs are in Sranang. I think that's about my goal, because all those programs are meant to be integration programs.
So bringing people into the community.
Dit is het ochtenduur van Stad.
Dat was het nationale en internationale nieuws wat het ANP bij elkaar heeft gehaald. Maar,
there isn't too much news from outside of Amsterdam, in my opinion, besides of local bicycle accidents. Right. But if there is a need, we go outside of Amsterdam. And we are supposed from 1989 to take care of the whole county. When there is, for instance, something with the milieu, pollution, it's always outside of Amsterdam, because Amsterdam drops his garbage outside of Amsterdam almost everywhere in Europe, even sometimes in Belgium. And we go there and we make programs about it, because the pollution is a very important issue for us.
But what will happen when you become a provincial radio station? Does that mean to say that you'll have a centre, let's say, in Amsterdam, and then different regional studios around the county?
No, that's what I hope to be able to do. We have to wait for decisions by the county government. We have some plans, but we are not going to tell them what to do. They should tell us what to do.
Walking down the main shopping street, the Kalverstraat, on a blustery, windy November day, the fashion boutiques are blasting out music to entice you from all sides. Some of them switch their music system to one of the several dozen pirate radio stations audible right across the FM dial.
Avond tussen 9 en 11 uur komt het orgasme uit je radio met je. Digitaal FM.
The Blue Mountains Orchestra and Jamaican Love Affair.
Zo te omdat gaan. Ik ben zo verlegen, daarom bel ik op. Omdat ik wil...
That last signal is in fact someone's illegal baby phone. The rest are indeed music pirates. So is Stat Radio under threat from these illegal pirate stations, which operate commercially and survive countless raids from the radio control division of the Dutch Post Office?
It's, of course, against the law, and I have some sympathy for the broadcasting law because it gives us full independence for 100% making programs. And I like freedom. I think freedom is a very important thing in our Western culture. But those pirates are absolutely no competition for us because we are professionals and they are not. Sometimes some of the pirates are interesting. Most of them are not. They are playing very hard music. But that's not important for us. We are a station for information of the region. And that information sometimes concerns, well, when there is a demonstration against suppression of Soviet Jews, we broadcast that because it's happening in Amsterdam. Nevertheless, it's an international problem. But all those kinds of program are absolutely not familiar with what most of the pirates are broadcasting. Some pirates are interesting because they are exploited by squatters or by very militant feminists or some minorities. And I'm listening to them very carefully. They don't know that, I think. But I'm interested in those squatter stations because they are amateurs, volunteers, and sometimes they are making programs on a niveau which I really admire. But that's an exception on the normal situation.
The average Amsterdamer, it seems, has a mistrust of the media and attempts to set up a live microphone in various parts of the city for members of the public to say what was on their mind was abandoned after a 2-year trial. Now the emphasis is placed on training various groups and societies with something to say to make their own programmes and to contribute to Stat Radio's output. But with money always tight, especially for regional radio, is this the answer? That's the jingle in between advertisements on the 5 Dutch national radio networks. Regional stations are non-profit at present and will remain so even after the new Dutch media law takes effect in 1989. In just over 2 years' time, all regional radio in Holland will be financed by the provincial authorities, not the central government. Leo Jacobs believes that finance from this source is better for this type of talk radio. Trying to make it commercially viable would lead to restrictions.
Most Dutch program makers don't realize that they are really in the opportunity to make a program fully independent, even in Britain, with its wonderful freedom of expression of opinion. Even there, BBC has problems with the Thatcher government now. Even in Sweden, with the socialist government, there are problems between radio and TV and the government. And the same in Denmark. United States, and journalist of radio, Marty, got expelled because of a problem with the president. Things which are impossible in this country. Well, the economic situation of radio and TV is complicated. I'm controlled for every penny. It's not very easy to be a free program maker when your finances are controlled for every penny, but I make it because that's my job.
And what is your budget? I mean, are you talking about a lot of money?
I'm spending every year 3.2 million of guilders for radio because we have a television division too for minorities, for Moroccans, Sranang people, Turkish people and Italians.
You're making TV programs for distribution on the cable?
Yeah. And until the 1st of January in 1987, it's a division of Stad, and probably then it will be independent or it will disappear, I'm afraid. We are not sure about that.
3.3 million guilders, incidentally, works out to $1.4 million. Stad Radio Amsterdam say the furthest anyone's heard their signal, incidentally, on 93.4 megahertz FM, is 250 kilometers away in neighboring West Germany.
Tot zover deze korte uitzending van Stad. We zijn weer bij u terug na het ANP-nieuws van 9 uur. Graag tot dan.
Well, you can bet on us being here next week. Same time, same frequency. Have a nice weekend.
Input on our output to Media Network, Box 222, Hilversum, the Netherlands, or to our computer line 3135
45395.
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.